Welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. I am here at our Global Strategy Roundtable. We are meeting in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Beautiful, beautiful setting in the mountains and at Ridgecrest. It's been a great facility, great time. And I'm here joined by my good friend, Mike Ford. Mike, thank you so much for being with us and for being willing to share a little bit about what you've been learning, processing over the last 3 years regarding how we engage and support and love people that we work with.
Well, thank you, Andrew. So good to be here. Yeah, this has been such a journey, and being part of the global strategies and just hearing more has been a big part of that. Yeah, about 3 years ago, I had this like stirring, like a part of me that was a little bit discontented, and it had to do with, I think, how we maybe ignore crucial conversations.
Yeah.
And we don't have, I would call it kind-hearted candor.
Yeah.
In the way we operate, in the way we work together.
And when we don't, when we aren't able to have those honest conversations, it leads to misunderstandings, distrust, and, I mean, all kinds of challenges in teams. And so I love that you've provided some, you know, some context for that. And so before we jump into this, you are developing this in the church that you work in. So tell us where you are, what you do, and so people have a little bit of a context for you and where you're from.
Yes. So I work at, I'm involved. I'm a pastor at Cornwall Church in Bellingham, Washington, and I've been there for 19 years.
Wow.
So it has gone by quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all of a sudden it's here, you know, 19 years. And doing that, during those 19 years, there's these really peaks, and then there's these valleys. There's these ups and downs. And that happens any place working with people. It's just messy.
Yeah.
And so I think part of that was learning for myself, okay, how do I engage in this? And I think also looking back into the scriptures and seeing what was Jesus, how did he lead? How did he love his disciples?
Yeah. And so take us there. As you started to explore that, what were some of the things that you found in regard to Jesus and the way that he engaged?
Well, one of the passages that I love, and this is it's from John chapter 1, 14 through 17, and I'll use the NIRV, but it really, really talks about Jesus as, you know, grace and truth come to us through Jesus Christ.
Wow, yeah.
So the way he interacted was always grace and truth. And I love the story in Mark where, there were the disciples, and he and the disciples were going through Capernaum, and Jesus had a discussion with them after this journey, like, what were you arguing about on the road? And they kept quiet. Because they didn't, because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest.
Oh yeah.
And then Jesus sat with them and called his disciples and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And in that scripture, you see the way that Jesus led, loved, and cared for his disciples. There was grace in there.
Yeah.
He didn't stop them on the way. On this journey, he waited and let them have this argument, and then gently he asked him a question.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you idiots.
Yeah, not, it wasn't that. It was just, but it was truth, right?
Yeah,
it was this grace and truth. And I thought, okay, if we're to be like Jesus, this gentle grace and truth has to be the core of who we are.
Yeah,
and the way we interact with the church.
Well, I love that, and one of the things I love about Mike when you lead sessions, and for those that I don't know that I mentioned this, but Mike actually led a session today on this idea, which was so enlightening and great. We had great interactions and conversations about it. But when you lead, one of the things that I'm almost always guaranteed I will receive is some kind of visual, because you are a visual person, and to me that's so helpful. I love being able to see something, and so. Before we start talking about this, I wanna describe a little bit the actual visual that you gave us, and we'll have this linked online so that you can find it. But you have an x-axis and a y-axis. The x-axis going across, going horizontally, is truth, and the vertical axis being grace. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then in each of those quadrants, the four quadrants that make up that are part of that X and Y axis, you have different ways. So either we're either leaning into high grace and low truth, or high grace and high truth, or low grace and low truth, or low grace and high truth. And each of those different quadrants give us different ways that we interact. And so now that we have kind of that visual in mind, talk us through how you started to piece this together with this grace and truth as the foundation.
So when I think about grace, I think about how we interact with each other, right? I think it starts with curiosity. Like, I want to know you. I want to know your story. I want to discover what that looks like. And I want to care personally. So the vertical axis, the grace part, when we're doing that well, we are curious about someone's life. And we care personally. Now, on the opposite side of that, if we don't display grace, we're kind of apathetic about that person.
Yeah.
And then on the truth side, when we're speaking truth, we're just honest. Mm. And we're honest about ourselves first. I think there's vulnerability that's important. Yeah. And then we also challenge directly.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two comps. The opposite side, I just call it passive. It's like someone that refuses to engage at that level.
Yeah, that's super helpful. So can we talk through each of these quadrants, kind of working through, ending with what high grace and high truth looks like. So let's start on like the bottom right quadrant, which would be high truth and low grace.
Yeah. So I call that brutal honesty. This is someone that has high challenge. They challenge strongly, but there's low care.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is like I would call it front stabbing.
I love that.
Where it's just, they're telling you the truth. It's just about the truth. And this happens when you challenge someone, but you don't show that you care about them, leaving people feeling attacked.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of reasons why, but when that happens, it feels like a slap in the face or a punch in the gut when someone's kind of critiquing you or coming at you. It also feels like when someone's praising you, it's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, you can't really know if you trust it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I think part of the problems with brutal honesty is that people become defensive.
Yeah.
And naturally so. They question whether you care, and therefore there's this wall that comes up. And then it becomes an issue of trust and respect, and people stop listening and responding. And I think part of the downside too is, you know, the information the valuable feedback that you need, people do not give that to you because they're afraid of reaction or retaliation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why there are people that might tend to operate in that quadrant. I think in reality, we all do all these things at times. It depends on the situation. And one of the things I would be careful about is putting names in quadrants.
Yeah.
And just realize it's like a compass.
Yeah.
It will help determine for yourself where you are and what you need to do.
Yeah, I think that was super helpful because I think our first reaction is to try to start saying, who in my life is like that, you know? But the reality is, I'm like that. We're all like that at different moments or times in our life. And part of it is pausing and saying, okay, was the reaction I just gave brutally honest, or was it kind-hearted candor? Yeah. It's really a self-check, I think, in a lot of ways. And that's super helpful. And I want to talk about these all together at the end, but I want to now move on to the second one, which is in the lower left-hand corner. So this is a place where we have low truth and low grace.
Yes.
And you called that insincere manipulation. So talk about that.
Sure. So again, it's low grace, but I would call it low care too. Low care and low challenge. Mm. So this is someone that might be backstabbing.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking
about
you.
So we were front stabbing. Now we're backstabbing.
Now it's backstabbing. This is someone that it's a meeting after the meeting, but not in a positive way.
Yeah.
They might sit in a meeting, but then they leave the meeting and have this discussion about what happened in the meeting in a very negative way. This is also passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
So this is when you're not being direct with a person and it doesn't come from a place of compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't actually care about the person either.
It's praise that is insincere. It's flattery to the person's face and harsh criticism behind their back. It's like playing politics,
yeah,
which we all hate, right?
Yeah.
It just leads to a very low trust, toxic workplace.
Yeah.
It just happens sometimes in a way of people trying to be self-protective.
Yeah.
They disengage. They try to protect themselves, and because they might feel threatened.
Yeah.
But it's a very unhealthy way to engage. Now, I think, again, like all quadrants, at times we might go into that. But if you see that happening, you think through what's the step to come out of it.
Yeah. What is putting me in that situation? Yes. And we talked at our table, you know, during some of this, is that, you know, some of the times I find myself in unhealthy quadrants of this when I'm, you know, it's a hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, that, you know, so when I'm not at my best, when I'm exhausted, I find myself either retreating and getting away because I don't want to deal with the problem at all, which is that one, or being too brutally honest, you know, because I don't have the filters to actually think through that. But the last one was insincere manipulation, which is where you have low truth and low grace. But What is it when you have low truth, but you have really high grace? So that's kind of the next quadrant up.
Sure.
You're in the top left now. What does that look like?
I would call this misguided empathy.
Yeah.
So this is someone that's just nice. They're just being nice. They're a nice person. It's sometimes it's, this is not my problem attitude. They want to be the person that that's seen as caring,
yeah.
And they do care. So this is what happens when you want to spare someone's short-term feelings, so you don't tell them something they need to know.
Wow, yeah. Short-term, it makes you feel good in the short-term, and long-term it's not helping that person really grow or learn or develop.
Yeah, it is when we withhold our opinions and ideas because we're worried, and rightly so, about hurting their feelings.
Yeah.
Right? But I think this is, I think, the source of our most regrettable mistakes.
Mm.
Like in ministry, this is the moment afterward you go, oh, I wish I would have dealt with that sooner.
Yeah.
I wish we would have had a conversation, and now it feels too late.
Yeah.
Or it feels like I missed it. In this one, it when someone's being critiqued, it's not really critiqued, it's often covering up someone else's mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's a short-term thing. And it's when someone's praised, it's false assurances.
Yeah.
It's saying, hey, you did such a great job, when there's part of it that might not have been.
Yeah.
And
you'll get it next time.
You will get it next time. So in this misguided empathy, there's a lack of accountability.
Yeah.
There's a decrease of the quality of work. But what happens is there's feelings of shock and betrayal when action finally becomes unavoidable.
Mm.
So it's like nice, nice, nice. You're gone.
Yeah.
And you know it can be harsh, and people will withhold valuable feedback for fear of hurting your feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's detrimental.
Yeah.
So there's not just a fear. This is a fear of conflict often.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in most leadership churches, not that most, it might be big, there's a lot of leadership churches, this is the default.
Because it's the Christian thing, right?
It is.
We want to be nice.
Nice is sometimes thought of as loving.
Yeah.
And in this concept,
100%.
This is not loving.
No.
Yes, you care personally, but without some kind of like vulnerability and honest conversations, you're not really coming alongside.
Yeah, this is the Christianese. This is using the language that that makes us feel comfortable and okay, but not dealing. And we see, as you said, Jesus didn't shy away from saying the hard things.
Yeah.
He just did it in a manner that didn't devalue them. That took into account their humanity and who they were.
It was always for the benefit of the individual he was talking to.
Yeah.
And sometimes we read statements that Jesus gave us, and ooh, that was harsh. It's always for the benefit of who he's talking to.
Yeah.
It's always in that person in mind. And the same thing in the story with his disciples.
Yeah. So the last quadrant is your kind-hearted candor. And so this is high truth, high grace. Tell us what that looks like and some of the languages you've used to describe that.
So I would say this is openness. This is honesty. This is sincere. This is genuine. This is humility.
Yeah.
This is being who yourself. It's, you know, I think it's our moral obligation to say what we really think and be willing to challenge others and be challenged by others.
Yes.
You know, it's both. It's about being clear without being mean, that we need to gauge our hearts so we care personally and our minds and challenge directly.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned on the last quadrant, the fear of conflict.
Yes.
And one of the things that we processed in the meeting today, which isn't on this, but to me, it was really, really helpful. We talked about how sometimes we get into a conversation and we say, I need to say something really honest to this person, but I'm not sure it's the right time to do it. And sometimes it's not the right time, and it's okay to decide that it's not the right time. But we, at the same time, have to check our motivation for why that is. Because if the motivation of why we're not saying this is because we're fearful of conflict, then maybe it is the right time to say it. It's okay that it may not be, but I think that motivation matters. And so we were talking about how fear of conflict or... I was thinking that, you know, brutal honesty, I think they're afraid of losing. They have a fear of losing the conversation.
Yes.
And so that's why they come at people so hard.
Or people had enough. Like you're in the fear of conflict, it's building up, and then it explodes.
Yeah.
And then you go into brutal honesty.
And so I think that motivation that underneath, for me, is what I've taken away from this. Of when I'm going into a difficult conversation, I need to decide... What is the motivation underneath for the way that I'm interacting with them? Am I afraid? Am I coming on strong because I'm afraid that I'm losing the conversation and I don't want to lose? Sometimes I just want to win a conversation, and that's very unhealthy. And I have to check myself later and come back and apologize. Or is it because, or am I not having that conversation because I'm fearful of the uncomfortability that's going to create? And so I think that motivation to me has been so helpful in this conversation, as I think about the hard conversations I have ahead.
Yeah. So I think it does two things. One, it's internal first. Until you can go down the journey, like where are you in this story? And then coming back and having honest conversations through it. That's one part of it. The other part is the observation of what is, if it's about loving the person, then kind-hearted candor really is about radical love. This is where transformation really happens.
Yeah.
And to do that, you have to be a student of people.
Yeah.
You have to care enough to say, what's, you know, how are you doing? Let's discover. I care about you. And some individuals, they cannot take a lot of the challenge directly.
Yeah.
And so it's being sensitive enough to go, where is that?
Yeah.
According to the person you're meeting with. And one thing that I love about this journey for me too is like what is the outcome?
Yeah.
So when I think about caring personally, this is where someone feels like they belong.
Yeah.
Like you belong. When someone is seen, known, heard, and they can bring their whole self, that is the result of caring personally. Someone belongs. When we are honest, and we challenge directly in a way that they know they belong. If someone feels like we are challenged directly, I think the idea is that then they can contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of transformation happens when people fully belong.
Yeah,
and then use their God-given gifts and learn and grow from that.
Yeah, you've mentioned creating a space of safety.
Yep.
And then once you have that space of safety, you have the opportunity then to contribute in ways that you couldn't if you didn't feel like you had that yep. place of belonging.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's so good.
Well, and the opposite is true too. And this is the part I think, oh, I grieve this. But if it's low grace, there's a sense of rejection.
Yeah.
And that's just sad. That's just sad for the soul, like feeling really rejected and not seen, not heard. And that's the result of like brutal honesty or insincere manipulation.
Yeah.
And then the opposite of that, when you can't, you're not contributing and people are not challenging in a grace-filled environment, then you become distant.
Yeah.
And you know that people care, but not care enough
yeah.
to pull the best from you.
Yeah.
And so you tend to tend to be more distant in that sense.
Yeah. I think this is super helpful. I love this this image and the language that's given here. One of the things I think this is great for is certainly for organizational teams. You know, that this is for you, it was a conversation about how do you do this at your church at Cornwall? How do you live in that kind-hearted candor as much as you can so that you create belonging so people can bring their best selves to a situation. But I think this is true for all parts of our life that I think we're in a time right now in our country where there's a lot of division and a lot of discord and disconnection. And I think it's easy to find ourselves with people we disagree with leaning into one of these, either because, you know, I think you see this on social media all the time, right? It's either you see the brutal honesty, you see the way that people respond that way, or you see the people who just disappear because they're like, I'm not going to be a part of this conversation anymore. And certainly there are reasons that people need to do that, obviously for personal health, if they're being attacked or whatever. But I think that as we consider the way we engage with brothers and sisters, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, trying to think about how we do that in every situation, especially in difficult situations, in spaces where we can bring as much grace, but also as much truth. So it doesn't just become that Christianese, but is truth-seeking and is grace-filled. To me, that just speaks to just every aspect of my life. I can just think of so many different areas in my life where this is needed and valuable. And so I just thank you so much for offering this as a gift to us.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. And I think you're right. It does. It can impact not just your work environment, whatever that might look like. It impacts the way I interact with my wife.
Yeah.
Am I curious about her
mm-hmm.
and her story and love her? And am I willing to be honest?
Yeah.
In a very humble way. So,
yeah.
So
I think about that when I travel, I find myself, anytime we travel, we experience what we call culture stress, which is this idea that as we travel, as we get outside of our daily routines, our normalcy, there's anxiety that comes with that. And sometimes it's just like low, under the surface anxiety that we experience. But it manifests itself in different people in different ways. And one of the things I notice is that I could easily pull into any number of these quadrants in response to people. Questions, when someone asks the same question for the 15th time, I'm like, the brutal honesty comes out. It's like, stop asking that, you know? And that's not the curiosity. That's not the, help me understand why we, you know? And so I just appreciate this because I think that I can find myself at every different quadrant at different times. And I want to be aware of that in myself. You mentioned at the very beginning when you did the session with us that the being honest isn't just being honest with the other person. Mm-hmm. It's being honest with ourselves.
Yes.
And that self-reflective of where am I right now and how is where I am affecting the way I'm communicating.
Yeah. And I think that's so important because often we will want to put names in different places. And it starts with us.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think too, if you think about it organizationally, this is a culture that is not just for senior leaders.
Yeah.
Everybody in this culture could be building into this.
It has to feel like they belong. It has to have a space to contribute.
But they can actually, because they care personally, help senior leadership to feel like they belong.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think it's mutual responsibility.
Yeah.
And not just senior leadership responsibility.
Yeah, I love that. Mike, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate your time and so grateful that you're here at the round table and can't wait for the next one.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.